Morning, everyone. Let me have my welcome tea. Ashes, my name's John. I think most of you know who I am. One or two might not. I'm the associate vicar here in... Shall I speak up a bit, Josh? Sorry. I'm the associate vicar here in the benefice based down at St. Luke's. Shall we pray as we begin? Oh, Father, we praise you that we can come together on this Good Friday morning. We're very aware that there are people around the world who... to gather together at Easter is dangerous. So, Father, we don't take the privilege of being able to do this lightly. And we pray that as we think about Jesus's death on the cross, that you would be speaking really clearly to us today, and that we would hear you as clearly as you speak. Amen. Right, I have a question for you, and Ash is going to come round to people who put their hands up with a little lollipop mic, so that we can hear what everyone says. Here is your question. How do you know what someone thinks of you, whether they like you or not? How can you tell what someone thinks of you and whether they like you or not?
By their look on the face.
By the look on their face. Excellent.
My dad.
What about your dad? Does your dad like you?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Good job.
He's not entirely sure.
Can I sleep with him?
Okay, good, excellent. Right, anyone else?
When you approach them, they smile at you, they look at you and welcome you with their whole eyes and face.
They do nice things for you.
Ah, they do nice things for you. Excellent. Anybody else? Go on then, Benny.
Because I love my mummy.
You love your mummy. How do you show your mummy that you love your mummy? You tell her. Okay. Well, that certainly solves the conundrum, doesn't it?
Yes, brilliant. What, have we got one more? Here we go.
They want to spend time with you.
They want to spend time with you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So things like what people say, what they look like, what they do, and whether they want to be with you or not are ways that you can tell what people think of you, aren't they? That is brilliant. This morning, we're going to see four different reactions to Jesus from four different people or groups of people. And we'll be able to work out what they thought about Jesus on the cross. And I want you to listen out and see what you think, or whether you think they liked Jesus or not. What did they understand Jesus properly? Were they wanting to hear him? Were they wanting to be with him? And you're going to need our first reading open in front of you, the reading that Sally read for us earlier on. So do turn back to that if you've moved on in your service booklet there. And we're going to be starting at verse 32. And here we've got our first group of people. Verse 32, here we go. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. Now we're thinking about who the they are. Along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And they divided up their clothes by casting lots. Now here, the group of people, we're not thinking about the criminals yet, we're thinking about the they who crucified Jesus. I wonder if you know who they are. They were the Roman soldiers who'd been given the job of nailing Jesus to the cross, of killing Jesus. That was the they in that passage. What does how they treated Jesus tell us about what they thought of him? What do you think? Ash, you're on again. What does how the soldiers treated Jesus there, nailing him to a cross and dividing up their clothes, what does that tell us what they thought of him?
It made him scared.
made him scared. Okay, but what did they think of Jesus? Did they like Jesus when they crucified him? What do you think, Vinny?
No.
No. Anyone else? Who else? Grown-ups, you're allowed to join in as well.
So what was the question again?
What did the Roman soldiers think about Jesus when they crucified him?
They were proud of themselves.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? They were thinking about themselves and not Jesus.
They hated Jesus?
They hated Jesus, didn't they? Yes, their actions showed they hated Jesus, thank ye. They didn't like him, they despised Jesus. They bullied him, didn't they? And they nailed him on a cross to die. That shows that they didn't like Jesus at all, did they? They didn't care who he said he was. They didn't care who God the Father had said he was. But did you notice what Jesus prayed for them? Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Goodness me. It's really hard to forgive somebody when they've been nasty to you at school or at work or at home or in the street, isn't it? But here's Jesus praying that even the people who nailed him to the cross might be forgiven. He was even willing to forgive those people. They'd have to say sorry, and they'd have to really mean it when they said sorry. But did you know that there's nobody who's done anything so bad that they can't say to God that they're truly sorry and be forgiven? Did you know that? Even those Roman soldiers, if they'd said sorry and meant it, even after they killed Jesus, then they would have been forgiven. And there might be one or two here who think that they're so bad or they've done something so wrong that Jesus wouldn't forgive them. We need to know that that's not true. He was even willing to forgive the soldiers who killed him if they turned back to him and said they were really sorry. Here's the second group of people. Look with me at verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." They're being sarcastic about him, aren't they? They're being really rotten to him. And the soldiers are joining in with it again, aren't they? They've decided they're going to be nasty even more. "Oh yeah, if he is who he says he is, then he'd do something about all this, wouldn't he? So obviously, he was just making up the God's son bit. King of the Jews, pah." That's what's going through their mind, isn't it? They're just being nasty to him. They haven't understood that Jesus chose to die on the cross. Of course, he could have taken himself down if he'd wanted, couldn't he? But Jesus chose to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Did you know that? That he did this on purpose. It wasn't a horrible thing that should never have happened. It was a horrible thing, and it was always planned to happen. Jesus on purpose chose to die for you and for me so that our sins, our wrongness against God, would be paid for by him on the cross. So we've seen Jesus was bullied and bruised, and we've seen that he was misunderstood and mocked. Ready for the third group? Well, actually, this is just one person. Let's pick up again at verse 39. Look down at verse 39 with me. "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. This man wanted rescuing from the cross, didn't he? The cross next to Jesus. Well, wouldn't you? I'm sure that you would. I would. But the thing is, all he sees is what's happening there, and he's really angry about what's going on. And that's kind of taken over his life. He's really angry, and he's shouting rude things to Jesus because Jesus hadn't rescued him. He thinks he ought to be rescued, that he somehow deserves being rescued, that it was his right to be saved. But here's the thing. None of us, not that criminal, not you, not me, deserve to be saved from our sin. None of us deserves to be rescued from the consequences of God's judgment. In fact, because we're all sinners, we deserve to be punished for the wrong we've done and the wrong we continue to do. And we deserve to be punished for not worshipping God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, all of the time. Because that's how we should worship God. But this man thinks it's his right to be rescued. It's never our right to be rescued. If we are rescued by God, saved from our sins, it's because of God's grace. Entirely because of God's grace. Him giving us something that we don't deserve. And it's important that we know that and come to Jesus humbly, asking for forgiveness rather than demanding rescue. And when he forgives us, he also rescues us, not because we deserve it, but because Jesus died on the cross for us. Finally then, the fourth person. And see if you can work out whether this person likes Jesus or not. Verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked the first one. That means told him off. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, here's the question for you to answer out loud now. What does this man think about Jesus? What can we tell from his words that he thinks about Jesus?
I think he fears Jesus, and I think I'm not sure he necessarily likes Jesus, but he knows Jesus' power.
Okay, not sure he likes Jesus, but he knows Jesus' power. Does anybody want to say something different from that? He knows that Jesus... He believes that Jesus is totally the King of Heaven, the Son of God. Anybody want to add to that? What does he think about Jesus? What does he feel about Jesus? Here we go, one more at the front.
Where's that? Sorry.
Oh, maybe not.
He feels that Jesus might. I think he feels that he's scared that Jesus might punish him.
Really? Okay. Well, let's have a look again, shall we, at what the Bible says there. Look with me again at verse. Where are we? 41. He says, we were punished justly. That means we were on these crosses because we've done something wrong. for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. So he thinks Jesus is good, doesn't he? He thinks Jesus is good, and then he asks Jesus a question. He doesn't think he deserves anything. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knows that Jesus is God's king, and he knows that if Jesus remembers him, then he will be rescued. He understands that these three things, that he was getting what he deserved, punishment for sin, that Jesus was innocent of everything and didn't deserve to die, and he knew that he had to ask Jesus to save him. He understood Jesus, and he understood what he needed to do. And look what Jesus said to him as a result. Verse 43. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The second criminal was saved by grace through faith. He didn't deserve to be saved, but he was saved through the faith he had in Jesus. And that day, even though he was going to die on the cross next to Jesus, he was going to wake up with Jesus in heaven. Wow. That very day. And guess what? He's still there today. He's still there living in paradise and loving being there. Paradise is another word for God's new creation. And he'll be there forever because Jesus died for him and he responded in faith. Luke tells us about these four people or groups so that we know how to respond to Jesus on the cross. We need to copy the second criminal, don't we? Know that we deserve God's punishment for our sin. Know that Jesus died for us, even though he was innocent and we're guilty. And ask that he remembers us and brings us with him into heaven. If we do those things, then we'll one day meet that second criminal and we'll see Jesus face to face. We'll be with Jesus, the King of Heaven, in his kingdom. And that is why, even though today we remember Jesus dying on the cross, it's called Good Friday. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for us. We thank you that even though you were innocent of everything and we were guilty, that you took our place and that you died instead of us so that we can wake up with you in paradise. Amen.